Thank you very much, and thanks for being here. I would like to acknowledge two other people on this paper, and those are Dr. Hilema and Dr. Roland Bellew. They are faculty members in my department, and I did this work with them. Briefly, I'll go over background, talk about the research, and then go through the other stuff as listed there. But the question, why should we care at all about healthcare, mental health and parental status and race, ethnicity among adolescents? We all know that there are increasing proportion of children in the United States now, and as of 2007, about 22% of children in this country have one or more immigrant parents. And we also know from lots of study that most of these people are from minority families, Hispanics. They have high family poverty, less educated parents, and they have other disadvantages, such as living in poor neighborhoods. And not too often do we hear about some of the mental health issues that this population faces. However, it's known that the stress that they go through in terms of adapting to the United States can be very harmful to them, and people have hypothesized that that should result in the immigrants and their dependents having high level of mental health as compared to those who were born in the United States. So I'll provide a brief background. The first is that the existing evidence about adolescents in immigrant families are less or more likely to have mental or psychological health problems are mixed. In other words, there are no concrete evidence of whether they have an advantage or disadvantage. Different studies provide different results. For instance, this author, Redson and Anderson, they did a study. They looked at 2-year-old to 17-year-olds and also broke them down and looked at 12-year-old to 17-year-olds. And they said there's no difference in between the immigrants, those in immigrant families and those in non-immigrant families in terms of mental health problems. Two studies also looked at only Latino adolescents, and they found out that those in immigrant families tend to have more depressive symptoms, mood disorders, and other psychiatric illness compared to those who are not in immigrant families. And a very wonderful study, and probably one of the strongest available now by Hagar in 2001, using the AdHealth data, demonstrated that those in first and second generation immigrant youth, they have fewer emotional and behavioral problems compared to non-immigrant youth. The first generation means that both the parents and the children are all immigrants, and the second generation are those whose parents were not born here, but when they arrived here, they gave birth to them. And this study also demonstrated that they have an advantage. So clearly we see here that there are no consistencies in research concerning how immigrants fare as compared to non-immigrant adolescents. The other thing that's lacking is, as you see, I pointed out earlier, it's only two studies among Latino adolescents, and that one of them was restricted to California, using the California Health Interview Survey, which you cannot easily generalize to the rest of the country. So within ethnic groups, there are no research that shows whether they find the relationships is the same for whites, non-Hispanic blacks, and for Hispanics. So it's necessary to look at within racial ethnic group differences and see whether the relationships are the same. That will help inform where interventions should be targeted in terms of race. So we looked at the relationship between immigrants, parental immigrant status and mental and psychological health among adolescents aged 12 to 17, and also find out whether this relationship, when analysis is done based on each ethnic group, whether there are any differences. We used the 2007 National Survey of Children's Health, which is nationally representative, and it looks at children less than 18 years old. It was conducted by the National Center for Health Statistics and then the CDC. Parents and guardians were randomly sampled using a digital sample telephone dial-in. They were interviewed between April 2007 to July 2008. Overall, they looked at 91,642 interviews, and the response rate was about approximately 47%. And information was gathered on all aspects of their life, including their childhood, their well-being, healthcare use and assets, etc. And the data is a complex one where they use design ways to adjust for various factors. And you need to take that into account when in your analysis. We restricted our sample to those to adolescents, and they number about 32,849. And we focused on three ethnic groups for the within racial group analysis due to sample size issues. That's why it's non-Hispanic blacks and Hispanics. 63 cases were dropped due to missing information, and in the subpopulation, 12 cases were dropped. We looked at five mental and psychological measures, and these were in two groups. The first group was parents were asked whether they had to, were asked about their adolescents, whether they've had any medical diagnosis by a physician or any health practitioner about depression, anxiety, and behavioral problems. And they answered yes or no. So we grouped those who answered yes as having had it and those who answered no as not. And this relates to the three separately, depression, anxiety, and behavioral problems. The other question also asked them that over the past 1 month, whether they noticed that the child had complained that they were feeling worthless or inferior. And secondly, also whether they noticed that the child was not getting involved with other people. This had a scale from sometimes, usually, always, which we grouped as one, versus never and rarely as those who have not. The key independent variable was parental immigrant status. And this is whether the parents, one or both of them, were born outside the US or not. And that's a combination of the first and second generation versus those whose parents were all born here. For single parent homes, we use that of the one who responded. And from previous studies, these were the variables we control for gender, age, parental educational status, that of the mother, poverty level based on the federal poverty level, family structure, the language spoken at home, and the insurance coverage. We did a descriptive analysis basically to find the prevalence more or less, and then logistic regressions using Stata 11.1. And this was to ensure that you, in your standard errors, are computed based on the total sample, because it's a complex data set. So that's why we use the Stata, who does it very well. And we analyze for all the cases, then for the subpopulation. Right. So when you look at the basic descriptives, you can see that here, for race, immigrants are more likely to be Hispanics, high population, whilst the non-immigrants are not mostly non-Hispanic whites. And when you come and look at the family structure, both those in two-parent homes or adopted homes and single mothers, we have a higher for immigrants, those in immigrant family, and less for that. For the single mothers. For language, obviously, almost 100% of the non-immigrants spoke English, whilst nearly 50-50 distribution for the the immigrant families. For education, those who had more than high school were predominantly non-immigrant families, whilst those who had less than high school, most of them were from immigrant parents' home. And poverty, the same way, also follows that the higher poverty rate was among those in the immigrant families. The uninsurance, similarly, higher for those who are in the immigrant family. These are the outcome distribution for depression for the immigrant and non-immigrants. So first, when you look at all the cases put together, there are no significant differences between for depression, anxiety for those in immigrant and non-immigrant families. When you come to behavioral behaviors, non-immigrants have a higher prevalence compared to those in immigrant families. But when you come to worthlessness, then getting withdrawn, immigrant, the adolescence in immigrant families are higher. When you go to non-Hispanic whites, the only significant difference is for the behavioral problems, where they are more, for the non-immigrants, adolescents complain more compared to the immigrants. The blacks, the proportion that had depression was small, so we are not very sure of that, and that has been a problem of subpopulation analysis involving immigrant families. But clearly, when you look at the behavioral problems, we see again that the immigrants had an advantage compared to the non-immigrants. The Hispanics show very interesting results, where for depression, anxiety problems, and behavioral problems, higher proportions are in non-immigrant families. And when it comes to feeling worthless and being withdrawn, higher proportions are in immigrant families. And this is not strange, because one analysis that reviews some write-up indicated that Hispanic race or ethnic group appears to be a significant risk factor for mental health problems among adolescents. The next thing we did was to adjust for the covariates I listed earlier on, to find out, after adjusting for all those covariates, whether there were any significant differences again. As you can see, the only significant thing was the behavioral problems for all cases. For whites, the same way, it's only behavioral problems for blacks and for the Hispanics. So it appears overall that after you adjust for all the covariates that has been demonstrated in the past to be related to mental health problems, the only significant thing you find is that the adolescents in immigrants' family appear to have a great advantage with relation to behavioral problems. And for the other ones, depression, anxiety, worthlessness, being withdrawn, you don't find any differences. These are just summaries of what I said earlier, that no differences in relation to those two for all cases. And the only obvious place where we find the difference is the behavioral problem. And for blacks and the whites, the same way, it's only the behavioral problem that shows that. For the Hispanics, similarly, we find that it's only the behavioral problem that appears to be a difference. And when we compare these findings to the HACA results, which actually measured the depression using a scale, so that's more, that gives a better measure than what we use, which is self-reported. It demonstrated that clearly immigrant children, the first and second generation, they are less likely to have depression and to have more positive well-being of themselves. So it means that the measure we use here for self-reported health for depression, which also shows the same thing, is quite consistent with one study, which also is nationally representative. So, you know, we think this finding, this study is important, and the main reason is that this is what we have seen, which appears to have used a nationally representative sample, and it has demonstrated clearly that probably immigrants, adolescents in immigrant families have an advantage in terms of behavioral problems, whilst the others may not. And it may be necessary to do other nationally representative samples, and we are trying to do that, where they also ask questions about immigrant status and probably break it down again to the first and second generation and see whether the same things will be shown. Thank you very much.